Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Hi. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together, and we thank you for allowing us to enjoy another day being able to praise and worship you. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds, not only to what you had to speak to us today, but every day. Help us to take what we learn here and apply it to our personal lives and take it out into the world so that others may know you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again, everybody. Welcome to the Cross 66. We have officially kicked off the Christmas season. Tess and I came in. We got a little bit of decoration already going. See a little bit of garland here. We got the tree up, a couple of poinsettias. Hopefully throughout the week, we'll get some other stuff. I don't know. Hopefully, though. That is the plan. Of course, with the Twinkle Light Parade, that's a big thing here in the city. So if you are interested or if you know other people who are coming, let them know this is a safe place where they can park out back. I know across the way, all that parking will be open as well. But that way they could come through if they need to warm up because it's probably going to be a little chilly at night. They need the restrooms, whatever. We'll be here for them. It's just going to be the sanctuary side, though. We're not opening up the fellowship hall. All right. And with that said, the holiday season, matter of fact, we were just talking about it during the 5-minute countdown, right? We all have a lot of things that we like to do during the holidays. A big one are movies. Last night we watched one of those movies, right? We watched Christmas Carol. We kicked it off like that. And there's a lot of arguments over what is and what isn't a Christmas movie. Right? Some people will say, yes, exactly. Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, Batman Returns, Gremlins, right? Other people are like, no, Home Alone, right? The Grinch. And I say, yes, they're all Christmas movies, every single one of them. Absolutely. I'll even throw in there's Christmas episodes of certain shows like Star Trek and Babylon 5 and everything and going forward. So there's that, right? Matter of fact, there's a lot of these that had their own twist put on, a matter of fact. Last night, Christmas Carol, the version we watched, had its own little personal twist put on it. There's been several out there. Sir Patrick Stewart has a one-man act that he's done, and they adapted it like TNT or TV, one of the Turner Networks, something like that. Pretty great. One of my favorites, The Muppets. Good old Michael Caine up there playing Ebenezer, right? My all-time favorite, Scrooged, Bill Murray. You know, watching that when I was younger, I probably shouldn't have. We'll talk about that later. I don't know. But there's a lot of versions out. The Grinch alone. Well, we got live versions. We got cartoons. There's a lot of things out there. But there's a lot of change that's out there. And the nice thing is when these movies, they have a message like last night's did, we're able to use that as an illustration for our own life. And over the next few weeks, we're actually going to use Scrooge. It's probably a good thing because initially I wanted to watch The Grinch. There's some parallels that could be done between Scrooge and The Grinch, though we won't get into it for time's sake. I get long-winded as it is. Hey, y'all don't have to agree with me so fast, my goodness. But that's the nice thing. We're going to use Scrooge. We'll be able to see what the transformative power of Jesus is in our own lives. We're going to look at its biblical themes of redemption, transformation, hope, and forgiveness. So different themes each week as we go. And we're going to see how a transformation like Scrooge's can inspire us. All right, so today, as we get started, I'm going to ask a simple question. You don't have to answer me. Are you a Scrooge? Now, I ask that, and you might not be thinking what I'm thinking. You might be surprised. But I want you to keep this because this is going to be our question for the day. Are you a Scrooge? See, it's a good question to reflect on because in order to be a Scrooge, you have to be transformed. So by asking, are you a Scrooge? It's asking, have you been transformed? It's a worthy question for us all to reflect on because we all have to allow the redeeming power of Jesus Christ into our lives to transform us. And we have to allow him to transform us fully. And I mean fully. your past, your present, and your future. It's not just a piece here. You don't get to say, oh, I want to change, and then cling on to the other stuff. You either want change or you don't. You want to fully change or you don't. We're all familiar, even if you weren't here last night, we're all familiar with the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Charles Dickens wrote Christmas Carol long, long time ago. You know, and we know it's a story about a man by the name of Ebenezer Scrooge. And his transformation from a cold-hearted, selfish, greedy, lonely, angry old man into a loving, giving neighbor. Into a man that could be looked up to. See, throughout this movie, he's forced to take an outside look at himself. And the movie itself, or the story, I should say, it uses three ghosts, right? The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas yet to be. Past, present, and future. In other words, he's having to face his origins, his past. He's having to look at the effect of how he lives and treats others, his present. And he's getting the warning of the ultimate consequence of his actions should he choose not to change his path. A possible future. Now, that's the truth for all of us, is it not? We all have a past. We all have an origin. We all have a beginning. We all have the things that influence us of the world. We have a present where we're living in that world. And then we're introduced to Jesus Christ. And then ultimately from there, we have a future, two possible futures, because we have a choice we have to make, just like Ebenezer. We can choose the world and be condemned like old Jacob Marley and all the rest of the ghosts. Or we could choose to follow Jesus and have a redeemed, wonderful future, reunited with the Father. It's a great story. It illustrates a lot of things that impact our lives, a lot of things that can influence our lives, things that are still relevant today as they were when the original story was written decades ago. But as great as the story is, of course, it's not the greatest story ever told. It's not the greatest Christmas story ever, is it? The greatest Christmas story of all time is a story of God's Son, of God come to earth, born fully man, right? With that, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 is where we're going to start today. So Luke 2, 8 through 11, the word says, "Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Much like old Ebenezer, shepherds were a bit shook, weren't they? And it tells us right here, they were afraid. They were scared. And by many accounts in the Bible, if we look at the accounts, by all means, we would probably be pretty frightened too. Because usually when somebody sees an angel in the Bible, like, oh boy, right? They're shook. It gets them to the core. It's a scary thing. And just like the ghost of Jacob Marley, here we have an angel laying out, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going on, right? The path is starting to be laid out. See, the birth of Jesus is the greatest event in history, right? Well, I should say one of the greatest. Because when he went to the cross for us, that was truly the greatest. But this is just the beginning of that story. But we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, these shepherds, they're commoners, right? To people of power and influence, they're peasants. So what makes them so special? Why would they be so special? They're blessed with this angel to tell them, hey, Lord's been born. Go greet him. Go welcome him into the world. Why should they get this honor? Shouldn't this be an honor that goes to somebody high and mighty? Right? A king, a prince, somebody of power and persuasion, you know, a Pharisee, Sadducee? No. They were the first. And it's, we don't know for sure, but many scholars tend to agree. That's because these are the same shepherds and these are the same sheep that were supplied to the temple for the sacrifice of sin. They're the ones who did it. They raised up these sheep. They tended to these sheep. They took care of these sheep and they supplied them to the temple as an offering for our sin. So who better than to invite the exact same shepherds to go and welcome our Lord, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, into the world? That's why they are invited. They were sheep shepherds. They tended to a flock. And they were sent to greet our shepherd, the one who shows us the way, the one who looks out for us. So with that, let's now turn to John 1. So John 1, verses 10 through 18. Don't confuse this with John. It's John 1. You're going to have to flip back a little bit. So John 1, verses 10 through 18. The word says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The greatest Christmas story. That God loves us so much that he provided a way for us to be united at the table, for us to be adopted into the family, for our sons to be forgiven. We have to remember our sins and God cannot exist in the same place. If we were to go to him uncleansed, we'd be absolutely destroyed because God cannot exist in the same place as sin. That's why Moses couldn't see his face, right? He turned his back to him. And just the slight gleaning, Moses glowed, right? So it's a big thing for God to choose us and to provide that way so that we can be united with him, so we could be cleansed, so we could be forgiven, redeemed, right? So he sent his only begotten Son. We all know John 3:16. Sent his only begotten Son so he could live with us. He could walk with us. He could teach us, live that perfect, sinless example for all of us to follow, for all of us to strive for. Because that's really what it is. We all strive for it. Are we ever going to reach that bar? No. But we should all try. Every single one of us. Not only that, But then he came, he took our sin, our penalty, he went to the cross, he died a horrible, tragic death. And then 3 days later, rose from the grave, defeated death. All bringing redemption and reconciliation for us with the Father. And the promise that he will return to take us to him. In other words, he came to heal a broken world. Now it's funny, because we're talking about the birth of Christ. And it makes me think about my time when I was stationed in the Philippines. Especially in the northern areas, down in Zamboanga, not so much. It's a very Islamic area. But when you go up north towards Cebu and all that, it's a different story. It's a very Christian-oriented region. And it always struck me as odd there because it's not something that we really have here in the U.S. But everywhere that you would go, there would be a shrine. And in that, there would be a statue of the baby Jesus. Or in other places, the child Jesus. In either case, still very small. Still pointing towards his origin. Right? On a historical note, part of why this was there and why the statue is because it was a tool that was used by Magellan. All right. Ferdinand Magellan. Yes, that Ferdinand Magellan. All right. He went, Portuguese traveler, right? He went into the Philippines. He introduced Christ to the Philippines. Some people were very accepting. Some people absolutely were not. All right. Lapu-Lapu there in Mactan was one who was not. Magellan is credited for converting over 2,000 Filipinos. And then he started working his way down south. Now, some people will tell you it's because it was Islamic. Actually, if you read through the books, it was not an Islamic area at that time. It had other religious leanings, not towards Christianity, not towards Islam, but its own pagan stuff. And Lapu-Lapu was very, very resistant, angrily and violently resistant. So when Ferdinand and the rest of his Spanish armada tried to go down in there to introduce Christ, a battle broke out. Well, I shouldn't say the rest of his armada. He actually went down with a small contingent because he didn't want to be seen as a threat. But they went down, and a battle broke out, and Magellan was killed. Stabbed with a spear. They refused to give up his body. They wanted to keep it as a trophy. But you know what? It still had a profound impact. Even with his death, that area, and I could tell you I've been in it, was converted very, very heavily. That is an area, if you go in, it is a Christian area for sure. And the reason why it always struck me as odd is because I learned when I was there, every year they had a week-long celebration. And it is a week-long celebration where they have little things that reenact the Battle of Mactan and the death of Magellan. And when I was there as a Marine, I'm sitting, I'm like, really? You guys are celebrating the death of this dude? What is wrong with you? It's like, I thought you were Christians here. That's not very Christ-like. And then I come to learn, it's like, well, yeah, we celebrate the fact that he died, but he died as a martyr because he died so that we could come to know Jesus. It's like, ah, well, that makes sense. Still very grim, but it's a firm reminder of just how important Jesus is in that area. You know, but I digress. You know, like I said, you go there, you have all these little statues, right? Baby Jesus or toddler Jesus. We tend to forget that Jesus, he was born a baby. He wasn't born a full-grown man, right? I don't think Mary would have appreciated that a bit. Birth's hard enough, right? But he was born a baby. He lived as a baby. He went through the same beginnings as each and every single one of us, with all the same influences on him as each and every one of us. He started with milk. He grew up. He learned to chew food, right? Celebrated his first words, his first steps. That's a big one, right? We've all watched our own kids grow up, or our nephews and our nieces. And when they start trying to crawl and they start trying to pull themselves up onto things to try to figure out how these things work so they could stand up like us. And they fall down and they go boom. You're like, oh, poor baby, right? Jesus went through the exact same stuff. He lost his first tooth. Just like we did. He had friends just like we did. He followed his parents around. He had to learn his earthly father's, Joseph's, trade, right? What was Joseph? A carpenter. He took on a trade. He learned, just like we do. We take these things for granted. We think of him towards the end of his life, when he was going into his ministry, and that time when he was walking with the apostles. All the things that the disciples did with him when he sent them out. Now we think of his death on the cross and his resurrection, and when he reappeared to the many. We never stop to think about the fact that he truly knows us, because he started just like you and just like I. No different. It was a lifetime of first for him, just like it was for us. A lifetime of change for him, being fully human. Yeah, fully human and fully God, right? Because that's who Jesus was, fully man and fully God. And throughout that entire time, still setting a stage for each and every single one of us. Going back to Scrooge, we see him have an experience that changes his life. Kind of in the same respect that we think of Jesus, it was a bit shorter, right? But we see changes in his life that change his path and the way he lived his life forever. And I'm here and I'm telling you, in this season of giving, in this season of love, you can have the same change in your life. You absolutely can. Because this time of year, we are all receiving the biggest invitation of the year. And for some of us, the biggest invitation of our lives to come and know Jesus and to accept his gift of salvation. He's inviting us not just to have an encounter with him. I hate that. People say, you're invited to have an encounter with Jesus. What's an encounter? Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Never see him again, right? No. He's inviting you to come and meet him and form a relationship with him. A relationship to get to know him, to involve him in your life at every level. Now, it's not saying, hey, just jump in the deep end. No. Relationships don't start that way, do they? Unless you start a relationship under fire, and even then, there's some stuff that happens there. Relationships take time, do they not? Relationships, you build trust. You get to know one another. You learn each other's likes and hates. Your allergies. Whose feet smell worse than others? But that's a relationship. And that's what Jesus wants with us. That's why this invitation is so big. It's a whole season. It's weeks leading up to it. With a reminder. It's a simple reminder that we need to come to know Jesus. And in coming to know him, we get to make that choice, right? Two choices. We accept him. We accept the truth. We repent of our sins. Some are easier than others. And then we take what we know of him. That's our testimony, right? You don't have to go out there and pick up a Bible and be like, in someone's face. You go out with that testimony, what you know of him, what he's done for you and the time that you've known him. And you tell others, you share his light, his love, his mercy, his grace with others. Like, hey, I'd like to introduce you to my Lord. How often do we say, you know Jesus Christ? Don't necessarily have to say it in those words. I think that's one thing where each and every single one of us fails a little too often. We meet people and sometimes we have stuff going, or we're anxious to go the other direction to get to what it is that we're doing. Sometimes we forget to slow down. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Matter of fact, prime example, last night, I wouldn't have even thought of it, especially as tired as I was. We get done with our movie, we have a whole bunch of leftover food, right? Pastor Mike and Darren walked right out that door and invited people in to come and partake. What a blessing. There's a couple of good men right there. That's absolutely wonderful. That's the way it should be. It's also part of why we come together as a family, because as a bride of Christ, some people function different than others. Some people have great ideas like that, and others never even think of them. I said, I didn't even think of it. When people started coming in, it's like, oh, that's awesome. Initially, because I unplugged these lights and everything, so we could see the screen a little bit better with the movie. I was like, I'll leave until tomorrow. There's going to be some daylight. It's going to be easier to see it and find the plugs, especially since the ceiling's painted black. I'm not going to have a light shining right in my eye, blinding me like, I think I got it, right? I said, they came in. It's like, you know what? We'll find a way to make this work anyway. We're all here. Let's just do this. It's absolutely, I'm going to follow their lead because that was a good lead. Thank you, guys. That was a blessing. Not just for them, but for those of us watching. Absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, but as much as that was a gift for everybody, it still pales in comparison to the gift of Jesus. So as we get ready to go into the end, I want to share one last thing with you. But while we do it, I'm going to ask you again, are you a Scrooge? Have you been transformed? Are you transforming? For those of you who are taking notes, this next part's going to be something that you're going to want to take notes on. Scrooge. Some time ago, Home Media Group, they created this acronym of Scrooge to encourage everybody to be a Scrooge during the holidays. See, it's not the way we think of Scrooges. It's like, oh, look at this Scrooge. We see it in a negative light. Well, they turned it around. They flipped the script and they built this acronym. Scrooge. S, sacrifice and surrender. C, connect. R, remember, redemption begins with forgiveness. Amen. That's a big one. O, open heart. O, open mind. G, give the gift of peace and joy, enhancing and enriching the environment. I'm going to go through these a little bit slower, though. So those of you who are writing still have time to write it down. So S, sacrifice and surrender. How can I follow Christ's example of sacrificial living and giving? That's a big one. And in this season, we tend to try to add on a couple of words there saying, giving this Christmas. No. Giving in life. Every day. It's not a once a time or a once a year thing. C, connect. How can I meaningfully connect or reconnect with others? I saw a great example of that last night. Connection. Reconnecting with others. That can be a hard one, especially given what drove you apart in the first place. That is a tough one. That's right. Jesus did say, take care of the poor and the widow. Absolutely. Again, how do we connect? How do we reconnect? Connection is usually easier than reconnecting, isn't it? Because as humans, as mankind, we tend to bear grudges. Y'all know Albert's my stepdad, right? Not my biological dad. So we're not going to confuse the two. So when I say my dad, I'm referring to my biological dad here. There is a big divide in the family. He got hooked on pain meds back in the 80s. going into the 90s. And this is a time when big stuff like morphine was being used heavily to treat things. It's like, oh, you're still in pain? Let's just up the dosage. Oh, that's not working? Let's move you over to a stronger drug, a more addictive drug. And for him, it didn't matter if it was being injected or if it was a pill. He preferred pills. But it didn't matter. He was just looking for that big fix, and it hurt the family for a long time. He became very abusive, verbally abusive, physically abusive. The only thing that mattered to him for a long time was the next fix. It took losing his family before he started to actually try to find that change in his life and clean up. Now, it took time. He got off of the really, really hard stuff. And he did look to reconnect. He was very repentant. He was very sorry. There were some things he had hoped would go back to the days of old. That was never going to happen, but his hope was still there. And when part of the family, he was able to reconnect. He and I, we would get together at least once a month. We'd go to lunch. We'd talk music and all the stuff that we used to when we'd go fishing when I was a kid. He got to know his grandson. Some of y'all met BJ. All before he passed away. But when it comes to my younger brother, John, the grudge is still there. To this day, there's regret, but there's a grudge that's still there. For a period of time, a very long period of time, even after he died, my little brother still talked about changing his last name. He wanted nothing to do with the name of our father. Nothing. That's how hurt he was. He's not alone. Others out there have had that same hurt. So reconnection is usually the hardest part of this whole thing. But that takes us to R. Remember, redemption begins with forgiveness. Who can I extend forgiveness to? We all have someone that we need to forgive. Whether it's other people or ourselves. Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? As hard as it is to forgive other people, it's often harder to forgive ourselves. But I want to add to that, that Jesus can forgive you. Right? That's true. You can't truly forgive others the right way until you forgive yourself. That's right, Marvin. Jesus is already forgiving you, though. If he can forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself? He bled for you. You don't have to bleed. He conquered death for you. He knew you before you even knit it in the womb, and he still chose you. So if you need to forgive yourself, forgive yourself. If you struggle, reach out. But it's important. The next two are O's, of course. I'm going to go through both of these. Open heart and open mind. How well am I listening, learning, and growing? That's a big thing, because a lot of us become stagnant. We get set in our ways. We don't want to change. We don't want to move forward. We stop learning. And when we stop learning, that means we've stopped listening. Because you have to listen in order to learn, and you have to learn in order to grow. These all work together. And we should always be growing. So if you're not growing, you need to take a step back and evaluate what you're doing in your life so that you can change. That is a change that we all need. I promise, I'm bringing it home, guys. Like my wife's going to flash up a big notebook with the time on there and say, hey. G, give the gift of peace and joy. So we have to ask ourselves, am I only focused on the material gifts I can give? What about the tangible gifts of peace, joy, love, kindness, etc.? Forgiveness is included in there. Forgiveness is also a gift. But what can I give to others? C, Seth mentioned this morning, when it comes to giving, a lot of places that you go to, they're like, oh, you have to tithe. Don't forget, it's 10%, and then it's a gift, right? And they harp on you about your giving. That's a big red flag, by the way. Don't fall into that trap. Because we're all called to give with a joyful heart. Not to give under duress or compulsion, but because we want to. Because it's been put on us. Now, whether that means financially, which helps. There's other things that help too. Food helps. Food helps a lot. Right? Other things, cleaning out your garage or whatever. Say, hey, I got this. I'm going to give that. That helps. Right? It's like, what are we always asking for? Like sleeping bags and blankets and stuff for our homeless, right? The most needy and some of the most needed stuff. All ways that we can give. Sometimes we're out and about and we see a total stranger and we can see they're hurting. And we stop and we check on them. Hey, are you okay? Can I pray for you? There's a good gift right there. And for all you know, that's all that they needed to turn their day around. Many a story of somebody who's contemplating suicide was turned around at that point because one person stopped to ask if they were okay, to listen to them, and to pray for them. And because of that, they changed their mind. It's God working through you. That is a miracle right there. And it's not just at Christmas. This can happen any day of the year, 365 days out of the year. Again, don't get hung up on Christmas. This is life. Life is the ultimate test. And finally, E, enhancing and enriching the environment. How can I add value to the people and places in my reach? The way we always put it in the military is leave it better than you got it. What can you do that's going to help people or help the place that you're at or the places you go to? Now, I know Dale and Dusty and Brian and Albert, they've seen it. You go to places like Veterans Post, and it does not matter if it's the VFW, the Marine Corps League, the American Legion, and so on and so forth. All of them have the same problems. Every single one. It does not matter where you go anywhere in the world. And it's trying to get people to step up and help. To help in leadership positions, to volunteer for special events, maybe to help out in the kitchen or to cook or maybe to police the parking lot and pick up trash. It's hard. Nobody wants to do it, but they want to reap all the benefits of somebody else who's already done it. We should not be in that position in our lives, nor we shouldn't be comfortable in that position, I should say, where we just rely on it to just be done. Kind of like raising a child, right? It takes a village. Everywhere you go, you are part of the village. What can you do to improve it? Even just a little, one little thing adds up. Coming in here, we have someone who helps with sweeping, mopping, taking out the trash, putting buckets under leaks. Right? Even just this morning, Albert was out here cleaning off out in front of the street. Right? We have Mike. He goes up and he takes care of our air conditioning and all that kind of stuff. Right? Brian's typically over here taking care of technical stuff. Nerd. That's right. Right back at me. I know you are, but what am I? It's true. I'm a nerd. But it's the same thing. And everywhere you go, it's the same thing. You go to a school, it's not just the teachers. It's the aides and the janitors and the counselors. Everywhere you go, it takes a village. Don't go and take it for granted. What can you do that's going to improve it? What's going to help? So I'm going to ask one more time as we close. Are you a Scrooge? I hope so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your greatness knows no bounds. In many ways, you reach out to us, and all those ways are just as great. And through the wonderful story of A Christmas Carol and so many others, you've shown us repeatedly throughout history what we need to do, that we need to open our eyes, and we need to look for the betterment of our fellow man, We need to look to you, and we need to see that the light, when we find it, always shines to you. Whenever we're in the darkness, we just have to find that light, and we will find you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and help us to overcome them, especially the ones that we just can't seem to let go of on our own. Help us all to find peace and joy in you. Help us to transform and to share your light with the world. And in doing so, let us all be transformed so that when the question is asked, are you a Scrooge? Each and every single one of us can say, yes, I am. Just as each and every one of us should be able to say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. We thank you for entering our world and entering our lives. We thank you for your perfect love, mercy, grace, your reconciliation, and the hope you've given us. Guide us and protect us as we leave here today. And show us the doors that you'd have us go through in life. All his people said, amen and amen. Remember, as you leave here today, you are loved and you are blessed. So go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.